Whoa. Why y'all so happy?
You don't know. Charvette Mitchell is on the radio.
It's time to get motivated,
excited,
and influenced.
Why?
It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, live from Richmond, Virginia.
And now,
here to motivate, excite, and influence you,
Charvette Mitchell.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, broadcasted from the capital city of Richmond, Virginia. This is your girl, Charvette, and we are so excited to have you joining us here today for another phenomenal show. So listen, I have to tell you about my guest today. So starting out the top of the hour here with me in the virtual studio, I have Yvette Allen Tatum. She is an author, an advocate, a conference host, and an ordained minister, and she is here to talk to us about her brand new book called I Didn't Know, Identifying, Confronting, and Overcoming Child Sexual Abuse. So she is brave enough to tackle this tough subject. We'll talk about myths, and we'll talk about facts and her story and how this book can be beneficial. So that's our first segment. And then we move into our second segment. Again, another guest backed by popular demand, author Leslie Sherrod, and she is the author of the Sienna St. James series, and the second book for the series is out. She was here before to talk about the first book, so the second book is out, called Without Faith. And I'm telling you what, Sienna James is still in some hot water. She's a sharp-witted social worker. She's a problem solver, but she continues to get herself into complex situations through her social work. So we're going to hear about the second book of the Sienna James story. And then our third segment will be another Leslie. You know, how did I plan that out? Another Leslie. Leslie Johnson is going to be joining us all the way from the capital city of Richmond. Our first guest, Yvette, is from Richmond as well. But Leslie Johnson, her stage name is Simply Me, and she is an author, a published author, a poet, a spoken word artist. We're going to be talking about her book, Lines of Love, Love's Heartbreak, and talk a little bit about her spoken word, and you'll hear her story and why she started writing the poetry and the impact. So, listen, I think we're ready to jump right on in. Now, again, coming to the mic, Yvette Allen Tatum, again, author, speaker, many things we could say about her. She's been on the show before, but she is here to talk about the new book, I Didn't Know, which is really bringing to the forefront the many hidden faces of child sexual abuse. And so this segment is really around social awareness, to raise the awareness of this issue. So, Yvette, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Charvette. It's a pleasure to be back.
Oh, we are glad to have you. Glad to have you. So let's talk about your new book. And as I mentioned, certainly kudos to you for tackling this tough topic, this transparent moment that you are taking to share your story and to really raise awareness around this. So let me ask, what prompted you to actually write a book about your story and about this particular topic?
I'm do the best I can to give you the short version. The short version is, when I saw Tyler Perry tell his story on Oprah Winfrey's show, I felt compelled to share my story. Not that my story was better than his or different than his, but I felt like now was the time for people to hear it from everyday person, and really from all persons who've been victims and now survivors of child sexual abuse, just to be able to come out, share this story so that they can help other people. And so that's my real purpose for sharing this story and writing the book.
Awesome. And within the book, you talk about myths and facts, myths versus facts, we should say, probably. So let's talk a little bit about some of the myths that may be out there, the facts versus fiction, the actual chapter says in the book. Anything that you want to highlight that you find is common around some of the things that may be fiction versus fact?
I think the very first myth that's listed in the book is the main one I consider to be most profound. And that myth states, normal-appearing, well-educated, middle-class people do not molest children. That is such a huge myth. It's crazy. because that's the first thing that people think. Oh, they wouldn't do that, and, you know, they're educated, or they're married, they have children, or they make so much money, they don't do that. I would tell you, I think it was the second book review, because I'm on this virtual book tour with Right Now, literary virtual book tours. I can't get the word out. And I think it was my second book review since I've been on the tour. And the lady said one of the profound things that touched her with this book is that she said she just happened to be trying to look up two classmates from college. And when she Googled them, you know the power of Google, they were both in jail for child sexual abuse.
Wow.
College
graduates.
Educated people, yes. Middle class, married, children of their own, and they're in jail for child sexual abuse.
And so certainly we, again, raising the awareness to that it's not the person standing on the corner with that looks dirty and homeless and is trying to hitch a ride, you know, from Virginia to California. You know, it's that's who people kind of have in their mind, oh, that kind of scary person. But it can have different faces and come from all nationalities and ethnic backgrounds as well as economical backgrounds.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. And I even have that in my book. I think there's a section called Confessions of a Pedophile. And that's one of my interviewed a person myself, and another one is from an interview that I found online. And the person online stated that strangers don't stalk your children. It's people that you know, that your children know. And he said, what we do is we try to move in close to gain your confidence, gain your friendship, and then that's how we set the stage and basically are able to take advantage, not just of the child. Of course, the child's the victim, but they end up taking advantage of the whole family. But it's not a stranger.
Wow, not a stranger. And what I did like about the book was that you share your story, you share other victims, now survivor stories, but then just as you highlighted, you also pick up and share some about those that are the abusers as well. And so the other thing that's interesting is that for your personal story, if you don't mind, it didn't really come to light until you were a much older adult that this had happened to you. Do you want to talk a little bit about that, how that uncovering came about for you?
Yes, and I can just tell you that I was one of the fortunate ones, or I am one of the fortunate ones. I don't have traumatic experiences about what happened or anything like that, so I do thank God for that. I spoke at a conference, and my message was about being fit for a king. And basically the story is about Esther, how she went through the preparation to go before the king. And if anybody knows the story, basically you know that you have to wait for the king to summon you to come before the king. And she went before the king without being summoned, so she went through a period of preparation. And after my message, a young lady came up to me and was telling me how much the message touched her, it moved her, and then she just started confessing to me how she had been sexually abused and she was in a lesbian relationship. And I'm standing there trying to figure out why she's telling me all this, and I was like rehearsing my message in my head going, what did I say?
Right, that's true.
As she's talking to me, yes. And in the midst of her telling me that, you know, I'm telling her, you know, I'm paying attention, and I'm telling her, well, I'll pray for you. Maybe you need to get with some a support group, you know, people who can help you work through this. I said, unfortunately, that's not my background, and it's not my experience. I don't know anything about that. And instantly I heard the Holy Spirit say, well, you have been abused. And so then I started having two conversations, one with her and one with the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, okay, what are you talking about? I've been abused. And I'll tell you one reason why I was challenging the Holy Spirit is because she's telling me about people who penetrated her.
Okay.
And I thought that child sexual abuse was limited to penetration. And that's another reason why the book is titled I Didn't Know. And now it's not to say that I did not understand that somebody inappropriately touching you was wrong. I definitely understood that. But I still thought, because no one actually had sex with me, that I didn't fit in that particular category. And so Go ahead.
Yes, yes, and I was going to say you take great effort in the first part of the book to define what is considered child sexual abuse. So I wanted to point out that you take great time to cover all of those different components that it could be. So we could share a little bit of that. But continue with your story. Continue.
So literally what happens is he just walked me through my past and what had happened to me. And now while he's bringing back to my remembrance, I do remember. So I'm not challenging him on whether that's true or not. It's once he lets me know what it is and that it did happen, as he brings it back to me, I'm like, well, yeah, that did happen. I do remember. And so, but I can tell you that happened in 2007. I just wrote the book. And that's because, again, I suppressed it. I didn't want to face it, didn't want to deal
right.
with it, didn't even know what I was supposed to do with it. And so when it came up again, it was when I saw him do that interview. And I actually wrote the book, I keep saying in a weekend, but it was really all in one day on a Saturday that I wrote
it. Wow.
I wrote it all on a Saturday. And, again, I still wrote it for me. I was just trying to get my story out on paper. And so when I sent it to my publisher, she didn't know what I was sending her. So when she read it, it kind of blew her away. But her next question was, what are you trying to do with this? And so she actually made me go back and be more detailed about what happened to me. She was like, describe the people so that people can get inside of your story. And then once I did that, I sent it to her. She said, okay, now you need to do some research. I'm like, research? Now that's the part
right.
that I hated. And it's not that I hated having to do research, but when she challenged me as to why I needed to do it, it was very frustrating because I felt like she was saying, you got to prove that you're an authority on this. And I was like, I'm not trying to be an authority on this. I'm just trying to tell what happened so
right.
that people will know this could happen to anybody. I was trying to let people know how easily it could happen. She said, yeah, but people are going to assume you're speaking from a position of authority. You need to back it up with facts. I was like, I'm not trying to do that. And so many times
right.
I wanted to just throw the book down. I'm not going to lie. I just wanted to throw it down. People who knew I was writing it, they were like, when is it coming? I was like, when I get this research done. And
right.
I really didn't want to do it, but I thank God that she made me do it because that's
yeah.
been part of the book reviews that I've been getting. I mean, I never thought of doing a virtual tour, never thought of getting book reviews. And these book reviews, I've been getting 5 out of 5 stars. And the main reason why they're complimenting me on the way the book is written is because of the facts.
Because of the facts. Oh, my goodness. Listeners, if you just tuned in, you're listening to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. And this is one of our social awareness segments, our author spotlights. And we're talking to author and speaker Yvette Allen Tatum. And her new book is out called I Didn't Know, Identifying, Confronting, and Overcoming Child Sexual Abuse. So you want to get your hands on that. Yvette, while they're listening, how can they get a copy of this? I know it's available for download and all that good stuff. How can they get a hold of it?
Yes, from Amazon. They can purchase it from Amazon in paperback or on Kindle. It is available at Barnes & Noble. They could go to my website, YvetteAllenTatum.com, and purchase it that way. I believe it's available actually at all online outlets, but Amazon and Barnes & Noble are the major ones. It's also at Tower Books, for example. So, yeah, they can do that, or they can contact me, YvetteAllenTatum.com. I'm also on Facebook, Yvette.Tatum, and on Twitter, at Lusto3.
All right, and I have tweeted her, and I have tagged her on Facebook, so I know you're following me, twitter.com/Charvette, and I know you're connected with me on Facebook, facebook.com/Charvette. All of them are public posts, and you can find an easy way to connect with Yvette again. So let's talk about, I definitely want to define what is considered to be child sexual abuse so that those are listening will have that education.
Yes, and that's just so very important. And part of doing that, again, as you said, I really just wanted to let people know really what it is and what it is not. I'm trying to flip to it because I want to make sure I use the right words, because actually in the book I give my opinion and my definition of it, and then I look it up. One piece of the book says, sexual assault takes on many forms, including attacks such as rape or attempted rape, as well as any unwanted sexual contact or threats. Another thing I found in doing this research is what people use this sexual abuse for, which is actually part of the definition. It says child sexual abuse is a form of child abuse in which an adult or older adolescent uses a child for sexual stimulation. I think that's relevant because a lot of times you hear rape is not really about sex. A lot of times you hear about it's really about overpowering your victim and stuff like that is what we hear a lot of times. But with child sexual abuse, these people really are, our predators are really trying to get sexual gratification is what they're doing. Sexual assault can be something as simple as indecent exposure of the genitals to a child. That's whether they're displaying their own genitals or showing the child pornography, or even forcing the child to touch the adult, because sometimes that happens. The person will force the child to touch the adult in an inappropriate manner. So these are all forms of child sexual abuse, and people just need to be made aware of that. Again, you know, using myself in this position, I didn't think I was sexually abused, and I didn't even know the term or understand the terms, but even once I found out, I still didn't think I fit in that category because there was no penetration. And so we know from these legal definitions that it does not require penetration. And actually, penetration is like the ultimate form of child sexual abuse.
Wow. Listeners, there you have it. Information so that you can be aware to help protect your families and really to know it, potentially any adult. I like how you say, you know, you could look to your right, look to your left, look behind you, look in front of you, and there potentially is someone that has been impacted by child sexual abuse, you know, somewhere around you, close to you. So in our kind of ending comments, what are maybe the top three things you want people to walk away with concerning this book and concerning just the overall awareness around child sexual abuse?
I think the main thing that I want people to know is in my attempt to raise public awareness, I don't want people to just walk around assuming things. But first of all, if your child comes to you and says anything related to something like this, my preference is that you believe them. Err on the side of caution and believe your child. If you notice that you walk into a room and your child all of a sudden becomes clingy or uncomfortable when they're in the presence of someone else, be observant of that and try to understand what's going on just from your observation. And then you're in your alone time with your child, ask them, you know, were you uncomfortable when we went over there? Don't lead them, but just prompt them enough that they will talk to you on their own. And share that information, you know, whatever it was, because it may be something minor, but it may be something important that you need to pay attention to. And another thing that I would stress, which is also in the book, something I discovered through my research, which is called the underwear rule, a very basic conversation you can have with children, I would say as young as 3 years old, in my opinion. And what the underwear rule states is that any part of the body that your underwear cover, no one else should be touching those parts.
That's good practical advice. Good practical advice right there. You know, what do you say to adults who are now just dealing with the fact, like yourself, that there was some type of child sexual abuse? So we've kind of talked about as parents what to do to look out for the signs, believe your child. So we speed forward into years of for an adult that had this happened to them. Any advice for adults that are struggling with this and what kind of help they should seek or things they should do just to help themselves?
Yeah, I think the very first step is to forgive yourself. For some reason, there's a sense of guilt and shame that is attached to the offense, and we take that on and we feel responsible for what happens to us. And I would say to anybody, it is not your fault. Nobody has the right to violate you. And so you got to learn to forgive yourself first do what it takes to free yourself of the guilt and the shame. And sometimes the step before that actually is to acknowledge that it happened. Sometimes people live in torment and they don't understand why. And it's because
right.
they won't acknowledge really and truthfully what happened to them. And a lot of times it could be because of the pain and the trauma of what happened, or it could be because of who did it. You know, I do a radio show also on Blog Talk, a radio called Revelation for Elevation with Nina Wells. And one of our guests on there, her perpetrator was her father. And, you know, so you not only have to overcome what happened to you, but it was your father. How do you get over that? And the only way I can think to get over that is the Lord, to be honest with you. That's
right.
I can't think of any other way. I mean, she has been through counseling, but she knows the role that the Lord played in her life to help deliver her from that as well. So acknowledge that it happened and forgive yourself. Because as you forgive yourself, then it may sound crazy, but it's necessary. You have to forgive the person who offended you, because you holding unforgiveness in your heart towards them keeps you in bondage, not them.
Yeah, and you're
self free. Yes.
Yes, and I was just going to say there is a chapter on forgiveness in the book, and where do I go from here? So I wanted to add that in.
Thank you. Yes, it's just so important.
So important. Well, one last time, give our listeners your contact information and how they can pick up a copy of I Didn't Know.
Yes, and thank you again for everyone who's listening. I am on Facebook at Yvette.Tatum, T-A-T-U-M. The book can be purchased from Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, or from me directly at YvetteAllenTatum.com. That is my website, and it is in Kindle form. So if you want to just download it to your iPad, your iPhone, it's available.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, thank you. We applaud you for being transparent and for stepping out and talking about a tough topic. And so we appreciate you for that. And thank you so much, Yvette, for coming back to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show.
Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure, Charvette.
Awesome. All right. All right, listeners, we're going to take a very quick commercial break, and then we'll be back with our second segment talking to author Leslie J. Sherrod. She has been here before, so she's back by popular demand. The Sienna St. James series. We're going to be talking about book two. Don't you go anywhere. Are you listening to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show?
It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Charvette will be back after this.
In the newly released book, I Didn't Know, by Yvette Allen Tatum, the many faces of child abuse, from the victims to the abusers, are exposed and brought to the forefront. Yvette believes the only tragedy greater than the actual crime of child abuse is the ignorance of the silence of the abuse. Pick up your copy of I Didn't Know by Yvette Allen Tatum online at YvetteAllen-Tatum.com. That's YvetteAllen-Tatum.com.
Are you starting a new business, releasing a CD, writing a new book? Consider Mitchell Productions for your web design services. Visit www.mitchell-productions.com for portfolio samples, specials, and package prices. Remember, a website is not a luxury item. It's a necessity. Check out mitchell-productions.com or find them at facebook.com/mitchellproductions.
She's here to motivate, excite, and influence you. She's Charvette Mitchell.
Charvette Mitchell.
It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show with in-depth interviews
from today's leading authors,
gospel artists,
stars that you want to know about.
And now, Charvette Mitchell.
She's a scorned wife. She's a sister on a mission. Sienna St. James is more than a sharp-witted social worker. She's a problem solver who keeps getting put and pulled into life and death mysteries that complicate her already complex life. Oh, my goodness, with a headstrong teenage son and a missing estranged husband, oh, my goodness, who could be anywhere on the globe? Sienna St. James has to figure out what gets her focused first, and she's got a lot of things pulling at her attention, in particular, a new couple that has arrived for counseling, and now she finds herself in danger. Oh, my goodness, Without Faith, the second book of the Sienna St. James series by Leslie J. Sherrod. We're bringing Leslie to the mic now. She's been hanging out in the virtual green room. We're happy to have her on her blog tour. Leslie, welcome to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show.
Thank you so much, Charvette, for having me. I'm happy to be here. Excited.
Oh, and we're glad to have you back. We had you when you had the first segment of the series, so now we keep the story going with this Miss Sienna James, St. James. So tell us, how have you been?
Oh, I'm doing well and just trying to stay afloat with writing and work and kids, but, you know, praising God for all the opportunities He's allowing. So that's where I am right now.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, let's jump right on in with this second book of the series, Without Faith. So tell us just a little bit about how we transition from book one to book two.
Yes, well, I'm a social worker by training. That's what I do. And, you know, as a social worker, you hear a lot of these heavy issues, issues that are really impacting people, just, you know, the hurt, pain, all of that. And for me, writing is kind of an escape where I can still have this social worker figure who is dealing with issues, but there's a sense of hope to it. There's a sense of just encouragement in the pages, and also mystery, because I like a good page turner reading that myself. So that's what I really try and do with the books that I write, just, you know, have a mystery element to it. So in this book, Without Faith, some of the same storyline of her own personal life is going on, you know, with the issues with her estranged husband, and her son's got some things going on. But she has a new couple that shows up for couples counseling, and the more she finds out about them, the more in danger her life becomes. So it the story kind of is interwoven between, you know, her professional life and her personal life and the challenges that are going on.
And it's so interesting that Sienna, you know, is struggling with her own, you know, love life, but yet has to counsel couples and counsel people. You know, what the dichotomy that is. And do you feel that it's almost like, and I don't know if you are a Scandal fan. Do you watch Scandal? Have you heard about Scandal?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I've heard of Scandal.
Scandal Nation. So for those that are listening, if you don't know about Scandal, you need to check it out. It's one of the hottest shows, the best written, well-written shows on TV. But Olivia Pope is similar, kind of in a similar type of thing of having to give guidance and stuff, but yet has her own struggles. So Sienna St. James is a little bit in the same bunch, in the same boat. Maybe they should do lunch one day.
That's true to life, though. A lot of times we see helping professions of people who are out there, you know, helping other people, forgetting that they have their own struggles at home. They have their own issues inside of them that they're working out. And I think particularly when you're serving as a therapist, and I have been privileged to actually be in that position as a therapist, where once you're in that session, you have to kind of block out everything that's going on in your life and really be present there with the client. So it's interesting.
It is interesting. And you know, I think a faith-based book with mystery, you don't hear that and you don't see that a lot. So I think this would be great for those who are going into the fall season. Some of you have kids doing, you know, football and all this other stuff, so you can get this downloaded on your iPad and all that good stuff and take it with you. All right, so let's talk about with Sienna. She has some, let's say, love interests or some people that are kind of waiting in line. You know, they don't pick the number, waiting in line to see if she will, you know, pick them, since her husband is estranged. We don't know what's going on with him. Talk a little bit about those love interests that are out there.
Yeah, so Sienna has a lot in her past. I mean, part of her own issues is coming to terms with the man that she fell in love with in her early young 20s, actually freshman year of college, who she hasn't really seen since the birth of her son, who is now, you know, a teenager. But she really has never gotten the answers that she sought. And in the meantime, she has some other guys in the picture who are interested in her and trying to wait and figure out, you know, does she know what she wants? Does she have closure? And one of the things about Sienna as a character that I really try to write on the pages is that she struggles with a lot of questions about herself. She struggles with questions about her faith. She struggles with questions about how to deal with the past and relationships. And I think as women, those are things that we see and hear and experience ourselves. And for me, it was important just to kind of tackle all of those issues, but do it in kind of a lighthearted setting of a book, of kind of like a suspenseful mystery, so that it can deal with those issues but not have you so weighted down that, you know,
right,
you're just, you know, sinking down as you go. So, you know, I hope, my prayer is that the issues that are raised are thought-provoking and encouraging as well, you know, being entertaining as you read.
Wonderful, wonderful. If you just tuned in, you're listening to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. We're chatting it up about the new book called Without Faith, and it's the second book of the Sienna St. James series, written by Leslie J. Sherrod. Leslie, while people are listening, tell them how they can purchase a copy of the book.
Yes, well, Without Faith is available pretty much wherever books are sold. It's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Walmart even carries it online. It's also available on Kindle and Nook. I know a lot of people have their e-readers. iTunes has it as well. In the coming months, it will also be an audio book, as is some of my previous titles. So it's out there, you know, wherever a Books a Million. And I encourage people, whatever bookstore you go to purchase books, if you don't see it on the shelf, ask them to order it. I think sometimes we go in a store, if we don't see it on the shelf, we think, oh, it's not here. But they can order it. But it's available wherever you buy your books.
Wonderful. And do you think that people, do you recommend that they have to read book one to kind of catch to be in line with what's going on in book two?
I tried to write the books as a standalone so that each story has its own plot. The backstory of Sienna's life is in the first book, but I do try and catch you up in the second book. So to answer your question, if you can start from the first book, that's great. But if you want to jump in on the second, that's fine too.
Oh, right. How did you pick the title, Without Faith?
To be honest with you, it was just, it just kind of came, the story, you know, it really kind of explores on a level just, how important faith is, especially when you're dealing with questions, really hard questions. You know, when we start talking about why do bad things happen and how do I get past this situation or this terrible traumatic thing happened in my life, a lot of times, you know, people have a lot to say about faith and the role that plays in dealing with those answers. And for Sienna, you know, again, like I said, she's very much, you know, even though she's this professional therapist, she has a lot of issues on her own. So she does kind of have a struggle with faith and what it means for her. So that is a theme that's kind of weaved into the story as well, too, along with the new case that she has and the adventures and secrets that come out with this couple.
So would you say that Sienna is kind of a secret, like, detective? or one in a wannabe detective, even though, you know, her profession is social work, she keeps finding herself in these kind of situations where there has to be some investigations.
Yeah, you could say that. Sienna is very stubborn in wanting to get answers. So when she has a question that does come up, like in the first book, there was a question of there was a foster care client who's claiming to have a sister that no one knows or thinks exists. So she's the type of character that when there's a question, she can't let it go. And in so doing, she finds herself getting deeper and more deeply involved in these and just trying to find answers. So it does become almost like an investigation of sorts.
Ooh, the Sienna St. James series. It sounds interesting. So this couple, this diva and a gentleman who have shown up for couples counseling, tell us a little bit, just kind of describe their personalities.
Well, they, you know, the story actually starts off with them right there in the office. And Sienna hasn't quite figured them out. They're coming. They don't want insurance companies involved. They come with cash, saying they want to have sessions with her, you know, just kind of almost, I won't say off the record, but, you know, that's what it feels like to her. And she's just starting her practice and, you know, bills are tight. So she's thinking, you know, it might be good to have someone that can just come and have a wad of cash. But the more she starts learning about them, the more questions she has, and just the darker their story seems to get. So, and then she finds herself kind of in the middle of a lot of drama. Put it
in the middle of a lot of drama. So, ladies and gentlemen, you definitely want to pick up Without Faith. Pick that up. What's your main website, Leslie?
Yes, it's actually my name, LeslieJSherrod.com. That has links to a free excerpt from all my novels, so you can go right on my website and, you know, read a little bit and see what's going on in her world.
There you go. And we have tweeted her and tagged her on Facebook, so you can have easy connection points on Facebook and on Twitter. And so I want to mention also, you have a master's in social work, and you've worked as a therapist yourself. So certainly Sienna James, we know where her background comes from. Are any of the stories or any of the characters based off of any real-life situations you've had?
Now, I try to be very careful to separate, you know, plot lines from, you know, cases I've heard. What I do try and capture is some of the emotions that come out. I've found that regardless sometimes of situations, at core is, you know, hurt, is depression, is anger, you know, are all of those different emotions. So I've tried to kind of tap into those things and shape stories just around that root.
All right, great. I wanted you to have that opportunity to make that disclaimer so no one would say, Leslie writing all about me.
These are not stories based on, you know, actual people, places, or events at all.
There you have it. Just in case you were wondering, we wanted to answer that for you. And certainly we want to say congratulations that you in the past have had the Reader's Choice, been awarded Reader's Choice Award for Christian Author of the Year. So big shout out for your accolades there. Tell us about all your other novels that you have. So certainly not a novice at this, but your other literary works that you have available.
Yes, well, like before Without Faith was Losing Hope, which of course was the first book of the series. The third book of the series, I should mention, comes out next spring, and it's called Sacrifices of Joy, and I'm excited about that one too. And I also have a novel entitled Secret Place, which is probably the heaviest of all of my novels just because it deals with the issue we don't talk about much, mental illness, particularly in our churches. We don't talk about it. There are a lot of myths and misconceptions. And that story is about a Sunday school teacher who's been hiding secrets about her family until a tragedy happens that puts them all in the news. And it kind of goes through her journey. And, you know, it is a heavier story. I tell people that. But it's with the goal of really bringing some light to the issue, kind of a worst-case scenario, and then still having some hope in that. And in my first novel, Like Sheep Gone Astray, that's what started it all back in 2006. So, you know, Lord willing, you know, I plan, you know, to just keep writing stories as they come. And, you know, whether it's, you know, the novels I write now, I'm thinking about maybe even branching out into some young adult. Just have a lot of different ideas.
Oh, yeah, young adult, that would be great, I'm sure. And a lot of them now are reading more, and especially with these phones and Nooks and tablets that are more accessible, it makes it more fun for some people to read. So I think that would be great. And I do want to say about the Secret Place book, certainly I was listening to radio or TV just yesterday, and they were saying how these last two incidents that happened in Washington, D.C., so the Naval Yard incident, and then the young lady
who had the child in the car that ran into the Capitol or ran into the gate or what have you, and they're saying that they're both tied to some type of mental illness, and just how there is still a taboo-ness about it in the black community.
It really is. We deny it so much, and it affects so many of our families. Actually, just on a disproportionate level in our communities, because sometimes we're not willing to go get treatment, or, you know, we think it's something we have to hide, or we don't even understand what treatment looks like. I am kind of passionate about that issue, not only, you know, as a professional, but I know, you know, it's something that's affected my family just, you know, across generations.
Yeah.
So it's real, and there is real help for it. You know, if there's anything anyone can remember, just remember that if you're going through something, there is help, and you do not have to stay in that situation the way it is. You can get help, and it's okay.
You can get help, and it is okay. Well said. Well said. Well said, Leslie. Again, thank you so much for stopping back by the show. So we'll certainly have to have you back. Oh, you're welcome. When you have the third book of this series, but listeners, go pick up Without Faith, the second book of the Sienna St. James series. Again, available everywhere books are sold. One more time, Leslie, what's your main website and your Twitter and Facebook?
LeslieJSherrod.com, and Twitter and Facebook is the same, Leslie J. Sherrod. And I do have a mailing list. You can text LJ Sherrod to 22828 to join.
Fabulous. Well, thank you so much again for stopping by the show.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right, listeners, we're going to take a very quick commercial break, and then we'll be back with our third segment and my guest, who happens to be another Leslie. You know, how did I plan that? I planned that so perfectly. Leslie Johnson. Her stage name is Simply Me. You want to hear from this published author, spoken word artist, and poet, and we're going to be chatting up about her book and other things going on in her world right after this very quick commercial break. Don't go anywhere.
It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Charvette will be back after this.
Spiritual Food for Thought, 31 Inspirational Quotes to Jumpstart Your Day by LaTanya Boyd, consists of inspirational messages that offer daily words of empowerment, promote spiritual growth and development in the Lord Jesus Christ for your day-to-day living. Spiritual Food for Thought, 31 Inspirational Quotes to Jumpstart Your Day, available now on Kindle, ebook, and paperback. Log on to www.letiboyd.com.
Are you starting a new business, releasing a CD, writing a new book? Consider Mitchell Productions for your web design services. Visit www.mitchell-productions.com for portfolio samples, specials, and package prices. Remember, a website is not a luxury item. It's a necessity. Check out Mitchell-Productions.com or find them at Facebook.com/Mitchell Productions.
She's here to motivate, excite, and influence you. She's Charvette Mitchell.
Charvette Mitchell.
It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show with in-depth interviews from today's leading authors, gospel artists, stars that you want to know about. And now, Charvette Mitchell.
Welcome back to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Hey, listen, thank you so much for those that are hanging out on the phone lines listening to the show. We see you. Hello to those listening in from Twitter and Facebook and all across the world, wide web. This is your girl, Charvette. Listen, I know you follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Charvette. And, of course, you're connected with me on Facebook, facebook.com/Charvette. And my main website, which is charvette.com. And the last thing is pick up my mobile app. Just search for Charvette on your mobile device, and you will find me there. All right, so we're going into our third segment of Richmond's own Leslie Johnson. She's been hanging out in the virtual green room. We're bringing her to the mic now. Hopefully she enjoyed some virtual snacks while she was there. Leslie, Simply Me Johnson, welcome to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
We're glad to have you, I tell you. Just excited to hear what you're working on and all that good stuff.
I'm writing poetry, doing spoken word. I haven't started writing on my second book yet, but just anytime God gives me opportunity to write poetry, I'm writing and going to different events, just speaking and just doing what God does through me. It's exciting.
Wow. Wow. Did you always know that you were a writer?
I started writing poetry at the age of 13, and I knew then that I loved to write. That's how I got lost. I escaped from my life just writing. And it was at ease. It came as easy as breathing to me. It wasn't something I had to think about. I just loved to write. I never really thought about where it would take me. I just knew that was my outlet. That was something I enjoyed doing. And that was when I was at myself when I was writing.
And I know that you write poetry. Has that always been your preference for writing?
It has always been my preference for writing. I love writing poetry. I've never tried to write a story or anything of that nature. It's always been poetry. It just comes to me without even me thinking about it. So when I pick up a pen, it's going to rhyme before I finish. So that's what I do.
Wow. And I think that is really the challenging part, because there does have to be some rhyme. So you have to be gifted, I think, to do that well. You certainly have to have some oil, some gifting for that. And so when did the spoken word piece of kind of your brand, if you will, come about? So the writing, you know, and usually people that are writers don't like to talk much in front of public.
Exactly.
The public.
That is
so how did the spoken word evolve?
I didn't get ushered into spoken word until 2009. My husband passed away very suddenly in 2009, and that's when God had me to venture out into spoken word. It was ministry to me, and it was how ministering to other people kept me off of what I was going through, and then it ministered to me, and it was my healing process. And that's when the door got open, and that's when I knew that God wanted me. These words were not just for me to read. They were not just for me. He wanted me to speak these and share these because someone needed to hear my testimony. Someone needed to hear about God through what I've gone through and to hear about God the way that I see him. So in 2009, that's when I started doing spoken word, and I've been going strong ever since.
Wow, so this was a grief management really venue avenue for you. I applaud you that you didn't, you know, just kind of stick your head under the covers and be like, you know, I'm just going to disappear from the world for a little while I go through this my way. But you found a creative way, a different kind of way to just keep going and keep living. So that's awesome.
Amen. I just had to get in God's face. No one could minister to me during that season of my life. No one could touch and heal the hurt. No one could speak to me and take away the pain. I stayed in God's face, and that wasn't alien to me. That's what I've always done. I knew God before I got married, and we worshiped him together as a family. So when my husband passed away, it wasn't a second thought. I had to get in God's face. There was nowhere else to go but in God's face, and in him, that intimacy grew, and he really began to speak through me, and he really began to give me words to write. And I would read, and I'm like, oh, man, my God, you are awesome. Like, I couldn't do this. This is awesome.
Right. Wow. Do you look back at some of those things you've written and be like, man, I was
writing
some stuff. That guy was doing something. I don't even remember writing it like that.
That is exactly right. You read over some of those things and you remember what you went through when you were writing it, and you just look at how God puts the words together, and you know, my God, I can't do that. That is all you. So all the glory goes right back to him. I don't want any of it, because these are God's words. I'm just the instrument that he's using to get it out.
Just the instrument. Wow, if you're just tuning in, hello, you're listening to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. We see you coming on in on the phone lines and from Twitter and Facebook and all that good stuff. And we're in our author spotlight, poet spotlight with Leslie Johnson. We call her Simply Me. And you are listening to, again, the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. And she's from Richmond. We're broadcasting out of Richmond. A lot of times we interview people from all over, but it's cool to interview somebody that's right in the same city. So tell us the Simply Me, your stage name. How did you come up with that?
I tried to play with a lot of names because everyone kept telling me to get a stage name, need to get a stage name, and I didn't think that I needed one. I'm like, I'm just Leslie Johnson. And then one day I was just sitting there, and I just kept hearing Simply Me, Simply Me. And I was like, okay, God, Simply Me, because I am simply Leslie. There is nothing special about me. I mean, unless God exhales, I can't inhale, so I can't do anything apart from him. I am simply who God has called me to be, simply doing what he has created me to do, which is to praise and worship him through the gift he has given me. So that's Simply Me.
Wait a minute. That was a tweet. Say that again. Unless God exhales, I don't inhale. Did I say it right?
I cannot inhale unless he exhales.
Y'all need to tweet that.
Amen.
And give her credit on Twitter, at God's Poet 79. There you go. That's a tweet that she deserves credit for.
Amen.
So, yes. So let's talk about your book. So what is that about? Because this is kind of capturing really all of the poetry that you've been doing over the years. So tell us about your book.
It's Lines of Love, Love's Heartbeat. It's just a compilation of poems that I've written over the years. Some of these poems were written when I was really young. And it's just different phases of my life, different things that I've gone through. No matter what it is, you will become to know the God that I love and serve. Even if you don't know him, the words that are written will usher you into his presence. So it's just poems about life, about loving yourself, about loving the man or woman that God has allowed you to marry, about loving your family. And it even has poetry in there about dealing with death, about going through the mourning, and how to find God in every situation. No matter what you go through, you can find God in every situation. So it always comes back to him. He's always the center focus of every piece that I write. So it'll take you just through some of the happiest times of my life and some of the saddest, but you will always see that the common denominator always will be God.
Wow, you are a living testimony that we can see, living testimony. So would you like to share anything from out of the book with our listeners? I know I'm putting you on the spot, but...
I have a lot of the pieces in my book are straight poetry. I believe that some things are just written to read, and there are some things that are spoken word pieces. So I do have a piece that I call this my favorite piece, but it is not a piece that is in my book, but it is a piece that I've ministered before. And
okay,
it's
great.
Simply, it's a question that we often ask, why does God love us? Why does Jesus love us? In spite of who we are, why does he love us? So the piece that I will minister, if you want to hear a piece, it will be called Why You Love Me.
Yes, take it away.
Amen. Even though I don't deserve you, you always remain faithful and true. Giving your love to me when I can't even love myself, you never hesitate to answer my every cry of help. Your love you give to me, and I often wonder why. And I can't help but ask myself, why for me you chose to die? I know you feel neglected when my only times of prayer are not my times of happiness, but times when I'm in despair. I know I need to talk to you each and every day, but I continue to make excuses, and my time just slips away. But every time I come to you, your arms are open wide, so I can run into your comfort zone, and there I can safely hide, hide from the pain that overwhelms me every day. In your arms I will find my guidance, for you will not lead me astray. Your love is unconditional. I'm glad you're not like man. You see, men, they let me fall, but with you, I am able to stand. I often make you promises, and some I never keep. Yet and still, you send your angels to watch me while I sleep. And in the morning when I rise, on you I can depend to hear my every cry and forgive my every sin. Once again, I ask, why for me you chose to die? Then I realized that there are many reasons why you hung upon the cross, the most important one of all, so my soul would not be lost. You give your love to me, and at times I don't deserve it. You kept calling me to you, and when you touched my heart, I finally heard it. You lifted me up with arms filled with love. You showed me security with a strong but yet gentle hug. You pointed out the path that I should take. You held my hand and you comforted me when I thought it was too late. You took me in when no one else could. No matter what the situation, you were the one that always understood. You opened my eyes and you touched my heart. With your grace and your mercy, I found a brand new start. You loved me yesterday and you love me today. You will love me forever because your love is the only love that will be with me always. Now I'm in love with you and you love me. That's the way it is supposed to be. Showing my love with actions and not just my words. Spreading your gospel to ears that may have never heard. Heard of your faithfulness and heard of your majesty. Heard that you are Jehovah Jireh and will supply our every need. You are always right on time. You are the God of the now. You do not work in mysterious ways because in your word you show us how. How to apply your word to our every situation. You are the God that's omniscient, and you hear prayers from every nation. You are a shepherd to your sheep, and in you I can safely hide. What a comfort for me to know my every need you will provide. I know I don't deserve you, and yet you still love me. And because you love me, I give my life to you eternally. Amen.
Oh, my ladies and gentlemen, Leslie Simply Me Johnson. And I know I'm supposed to do the snaps, but I don't have the snap track, so I'm playing the clap track.
Amen.
Wow,
God.
Praise God. Just powerful nuggets within that. Powerful, powerful. And so how do you prepare if you have a spoken word event? How do you get prepared for it, to remember everything to say and all of that?
I just try to commit it to memory. Once the Holy Spirit gives me the words and I have them written down and I feel that that's what he wants me to say and that's exactly how he wants me to say it, then I just begin to commit it to memory. And that goes with, from the time you wake up to the time you go to sleep, you're constantly saying it. That's how I commit to memory. And I have to commit it to memory until I get to the point where I can say it without even thinking. And
Wow, that is a gift.
Yeah.
That is a gift.
You just pray that the Holy Spirit brings it back to your remembrance, because his word says, I will bring all things back to your remembrance that you have need of. So when I have to minister, I have need of that. So I'm like, okay, God, I have need of this. So thank you for bringing it back to my remembrance.
Thank you, God. Woo, that's awesome. That's awesome. So tell listeners how they can connect with you online.
They can connect with me on Twitter at GodsPoet79, or they can get with me on Facebook at Leslie Simply Me Johnson. I also have an Instagram that is also GodsPoet79.
Perfect. And how can they purchase Lines of Love, Love's Heartbeat?
They can purchase that on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. When I go to different events, I have my product with me. So if you want an autographed copy, you would have to get it from yours truly. So just follow me, see where I'm going to be, and I will be sure to give you an autographed copy.
Oh, great. Yeah, and if people have events, especially here in the city, and I'm sure you probably travel nearby, how can they contact you to find out if you can come be a part of their event?
They can email me at godspoet79@gmail.com, and then we'll correspond that way. If they want to inbox me on my Facebook, Leslie Simply Me Johnson, we can email that way and correspond. And if they have an event, I would definitely consider it. And if my time allows me, I will be there.
Wonderful. Do you do events that are just Christian-based, if you will? Or it seems like the spoken word, you're able to go into areas and venues that are that may be close, like what a quote-unquote gospel person would do, but you have an opportunity to maybe go into some broader reaching areas. Do you find that?
I go to different open mic nights that they may have in the area. I do weddings. I do birthday parties, family reunions. Anything that allows me to minister, I'll go. I'll go to different schools. If I've had teachers that have asked me to come to their school and talk to their class, and I would do poetry in the midst of me ministering there. So anytime there's a listening ear, I will minister.
All right. Wonderful. There you have it. Listeners, you know how to connect with Leslie Simply Me Johnson. And so for your book, do you have any book signings coming up, or are you in the planning stages for that?
I'm in the planning stages for that, so just make sure you follow me, and then you'll get all the details of when I'm going to have something coming up. But right now I'm in the planning stages for a lot of things, so just connect with me. My story continues.
The story continues. Do you see yourself writing more books?
Yes, I do. This is my passion. This is something that I was born to do this. So, yes, I see myself writing more books. I want to get into this full-time writing and just going around and ministering the words that God has given me to write. So it's something that I look forward to doing for a very long time.
All right. Well, we will see you at the top. We will
Thank
see you.
You
at the top. My last question for you, the goal of my show is to motivate, excite, and influence. What continues motivating you?
Life. Honestly, life motivates me, because as long as Jesus is on the throne and he reigns supreme, life is not over. So no matter what, at the end of the day, he still reigns supreme. So you have to keep pushing. Just believe the best is yet to come.
The
now.
Best is yet to come. You can't stop now, won't stop, can't stop now. Well, I thank you so much. And certainly I appreciate all of your support on social media and all that. Have you found that, like, Twitter and Facebook are really, really great tools to connect with readers and fellow spoken word artists?
Yes, they are. They're really great tools. People inbox me on different occasions and just tell me what they think of what I've written, and that they see me at different events, and just the words that I've said, how it has motivated them. And I've had people that have actually called me because I give them my business cards when I give them a book, and they've called me and told me these things. So the social media is an excellent tool, is a necessity, so everyone should get involved with it.
All right, get involved. Don't be left behind. Don't be left behind. Well, Leslie, thank you so much again for stopping by the show, and we'll just have to have you back.
You sure will.
All right, awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, listeners, I'm telling you what, today's show was phenomenal. We started the top of the hour out talking to Yvette Allen Tatum, author, advocate, conference host, ordained minister. Check out her book, I Didn't Know. It really is raising the social awareness around the hidden faces of child sexual abuse, so you want to get a hold of that. And then we went into our second segment with author Leslie J. Sherrod, her new book out, Without Faith, the Sienna St. James series, book two. Check that out. Check out all her other books as well. And then we wrapped up here with Leslie Simply Me Johnson. You want to check out her book on Amazon, Lines of Love, Love's Heartbeat, and certainly spoken word artist here in Richmond. So you're Richmond, Maryland, North Carolina. Get her for your event, yours. Church youth event, your open mic night, all that good stuff. And don't forget to connect with me, twitter.com/Charvette, facebook.com/Charvette, and then my mobile app. Just pick up my mobile app on your mobile device, and you just look for Charvette. So until next week, we'll see you later.
Live from Richmond, Virginia, you have been listening to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Connect with her at charvette.com. And until next week, stay motivated, excited, and influenced. The Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Signing off.